Welcome, Hanery Fisher, Studio H founder. It is great to have you with us on Thursday morning. I'm so excited about the job that you do, because I would imagine there's no shortage of inspiration in the city, especially.
I mean, it is an incredible job, and it's we're having the best time because it doesn't feel like work. So yeah, we love what we do.
Food is more than sustenance. What is food to you?
So I just heard your earlier conversation, and food is something that's magical, because it's that one thing that all of us have in common. So it's to me, it's the great common denominator, and it's something that we all do, and we all eat the same. We might call it something different. But as a designer, it's something that it becomes part of you when you eat it and consume it. So it's a really wonderful medium to work with as a designer.
I have no doubt. Your Studio H has been described as maybe a culinary-minded design studio that redefines the culinary landscape. Tell us more about this philosophy behind Studio H.
Thank you. That's very generous. So Studio H is, so I was in magazine publishing, so that's where I started my career. And then from there, I moved into design and chose food as my medium of choice. So we work with various food brands, and we work with mainly the innovation teams and product development teams. To come up, so we do a food trend report every year. So we know it's our job to know what the next food trends will be, and then we share that with our clients, and we do workshops with them, work with them to develop new products and make sure the product development teams all know what we're going to want to eat in a year or two or five from now. So that's the one aspect of what we do. We also do a lot of food events, like this birthday pop-up that we're doing this week in Cape Town for ourselves. So we love doing events with a difference, and we love creating food for those events that's different to what you would normally get. So we just also we launched a catering division. So we love working with one ingredient as a Euro ingredient, and then built an entire experience around that.
I'm fascinated by food trends. It's clearly not luck of the draw. It's more of a sus take on where how our palates are growing into the future.
Yes, I did. I was very lucky. When I started my career, I worked at VZ Magazine, the Deco magazine, and I worked with a fashion trend forecaster called Lee Edelkurt. So she's New York based, but I helped her run her office in South Africa, and I learned so much from her. And it's, you know, when you say trends, people think it's something that's just kind of like some suck, but it's very much based on data. And you know, there's certain, we keep our fingers on the pulse, we follow people. You know, we read a lot, we travel a lot, and you know, there's certain things where you know, like if a certain chef starts doing something, you know it's going to trickle down and become mainstream. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of monitoring, a lot of data gathering and analysis and from all of that. And obviously you also need to trust your gut. But that's, I would say that's 10 to 20% of what the trends are. But it's very much data-based.
Yeah, you say if a chef starts a trend, it's probably going to become mainstream. But will it ever replace mummies, pens and poaches or fricadelles?
Never, never. So that's also one of the things that I firmly believe in. I believe in nostalgia. I think nostalgia is a very important trigger to create. So to me, it's very important that people, when they come to an event, I will think of them entering a space that we create, and you need to make people comfortable when they enter a space. And I use nostalgia as a trigger to do exactly that, because when someone's comfortable, then you can communicate things. And we do talk about issues. You know, there's there's lots of things happening out there that's important and that we need to discuss. And, you know, from food scarcity to food poverty to sustainability to, you know, we love talking about heritage ingredients, and we want to, to empower people with information so that they understand. So, for example, sorghum. Sorghum is an indigenous ingredient. Yeah. You know, it's not something that that people eat every day, but we should, because it's good for the environment. It's from this country. So, yeah.
It's good for the gut as well.
Yeah. So mum's food and oma's food, and it's so important.
Yeah, and you say it's nostalgia, so it's not necessarily in the culinary creativity. It is. It just makes you happy, doesn't it?
Exactly. Okay. I mean, what makes you happier? Nothing.
No, for sure. I like the fact that sustainability is a key focus. I mean, you use locally sourced ingredients. You reduce food waste through creative menu planning. You do so much support for small business and women suppliers in your supply chain. Why is this such an important factor for you?
I mean, to me, it's almost like it's a no-brainer. You have to. I think we all need to be responsible citizens, and we all need to be responsible inhabitants of this wonderful planet we live on. So, you know, we do what we can in our small way to contribute. And I think that's also the thing, you know, if you start thinking about, you know, we have to save the planet and there's so much wrong, and then it becomes super overwhelming. But if you just start thinking about what are the one thing, the small thing you can do as one person to make a difference, then it's not so overwhelming. And I think that's kind of our approach. It's like, what can we do in our small world to make an impact or drive impact? And that's what we started doing. And that's what we talk about. And that's what we think about when we design stuff. And hopefully that also makes a little difference.
I love that ethos, that value system around the brand. I'd like to understand how you make business, how you do business, how you make money.
We have to pay the bills, hey?
Yes.
So we do a lot of work for corporate clients. So we do, and you did mention some of them in the intro. So we do, you know, we work with brands to help them, you know, come up with new sources or ingredients or, you know, menu items. And part of we then, obviously, we come with a set philosophy and ethos where we say, you know, please consider these ingredients because it's local. It's part of our heritage. So in that way, hopefully, we also get to spread our beliefs and message a little bit further.
So just how does it differ from traditional catering services?
So we do, so because we've got we publish a lot of reports every year. So for example, last year we published a report called 100 South African or 100 Plus Flavors, which is an archive of South African flavors. So it's, I'm not saying that nobody else is doing that, but we do consciously and you know, intentionally, we want to use local ingredients. We want to celebrate South Africa's rich diversity. We want to make sure that everything is sustainable. And then we do also have fun doing it. So, for example, the ingredient for this week's pop-ups is thyme, as in thyme the concept, not thyme the herb. So we then created a menu where some of the one dish, for example, is the one menu item is all about things that took a really long time to prepare. So it's a slow cooked beef short rib, and then there's a dish that's celebrating fast food where we created fried chicken, and then we used knickknacks as the flavor for it. You know, so it's just. In that way, again, we get to celebrate something that's so uniquely South African. And then there's the menu ends off with an item that's all about timeless ingredients that only gets better with time, which is things like cheese and honey.
Yeah.
So we try and put together something that's very conceptual and that also just makes people think about things without them almost realizing that we're doing it.
Okay, there's two things you need to tell me about, and we're running out of time. I want to know more about this pop-up experience for the weekend. I also want to know about Food XX. Is that it? Food XX, a movement celebrating women in food. Tell us more.
Okay, so the pop-up is the last night tonight. So, and there's, we just had a cancellation, so there's two tickets left. It's you can go onto Quicket. I think if you just go onto Quicket, search Cedar H pop-up, it should come up. And then FedExX is a platform that we founded a couple of years ago. Our business is women-owned and women-led, so it's something that I resonate with. And it's, you know, pay gaps and gender gaps and all things. I think it's important for women to stand together, so we're creating a space where that can happen. And we also, and that it comes with awarding women that does extraordinary things in the food world every year. So every year we have we're going to do that soon. We put out a call, nominate your favorite food, women in food, and then we do an award ceremony once a year.
Are male chefs better than female chefs? The amount of Michelin chefs suggests that it is, and I can't believe that any man can be better than my mama.
No. So what happens is that the kitchen, and this is historically, and it's just like this in many boardrooms as well, you know. So it's just the system is designed that men just got preferential treatment and they got paid more, and it's hard if you're a woman with kids and there's no support, but you see things change and you see women getting paid more and getting recognized more, but we're not at the point where women and men are equal yet.
You're not acknowledged.
It's just there's way more, just because of historical reasons, way more male head chefs in kitchens worldwide than there are women. But it is slowly changing.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I absolutely hope so. I don't believe you need to be a nasty like some of the ones that we see on TV.
No, that's very old fashioned.
Listen, we need to wrap up because we got to go to news in a short while. I want you to tell us about the trend. What is the trend we should watch out for? Talk to us about the future. Take us there.
Something that I heard you mention is hot sauces. Hot sauces is really hot. And you're seeing it more and more and more, and you're even seeing it on drinks menus as well.
Oh.
So, yeah, chilies and hot sauces.
Okay. Beyond Tabasco on my oyster. That's interesting. I like it.